And there is the somewhat unusual overture to the musical A Little Night Music by Stephen Sondheim, music and lyrics both by him. And it is the current production by Prairie Fire Theater in Bloomington, Illinois. They open on Friday and continue through August 11th. We're going to have a live preview of that show in a matter of moments here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The show is your connection to local performances. Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Kelly. Coming up, also live in the studio, we have six members, I guess really seven members, of the relatively newly formed St. Patrick's Youth Orchestra, which is sponsored by St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Urbana, although one doesn't need to be a member of that church to belong. And they're giving their second concert tomorrow night at the parish center there. And we'll be hearing from two of the students who actually run the organization. It is a student-run group, so I'm very curious to hear a lot more about that. That's coming up later on in the hour. But first, Prairie Fire Theater describes Sondheim's A Little Night Music as a musical tapestry of comedy, affairs of the heart, and bittersweet romance. And my reading of the synopsis suggests that the emphasis is on affairs. And that is the laughter belonging to five of the cast members, one of whom happens to be the producer of the show, Bob Mangiolardi. And we also have with us the director, Reese Lovell, the music director, Dennis Gotkowski, who's also sitting at the keyboard in preparation for some of the live music we're going to have. Well, let me put it to you, Bob and or Reese, about this show. It's one I've never seen. I guess sort of late, early in Sondheim's output, perhaps, or just
more
flat
on the,
in the
earlier
middle
side. The 70s, I think. 1970s is when it came out.
Yeah, I thought I wrote it down here somewhere, right. Now I can't find. But it takes its name from a piece of music by Mozart, which, ironically, we're going to be hearing some of later in the show.
Wow.
It didn't even occur to me until just this moment.
But
the kids are going to do some of that. Eine kleine Nachtmusik is the German, and then which simply means a little night music. Inspiration, but not an adaptation of an Ingmar Bergman film?
Right. It is adapted from the Ingmar Bergman film. I can't remember the name of it. Loosely suggested.
Smiles of a Summer Night, at least in English.
You are correct, sir.
I did somewhat of my homework, a little bit of my homework. Have you seen the film?
No, I don't think many people have, to be perfectly honest. Mm-hmm. I think a far greater number of people are familiar with this musical than Bergman's film.
So the gist of it, or can that even be said?
Well, I mean, you hit the nail on the head when you mentioned infidelities.
I just said affairs.
Well, rather judgmental.
it's a show that's about love and lust and longing, the mistakes that we make in love and how we attempt to rectify them, sometimes successfully, sometimes not so. When I first sat down with the cast, I described it as a show really being about how love makes fools of us all. One of the grand dame of the play, Madame Armfelt, has a scene at the very beginning of the play where she's talking to her granddaughter, and she describes how the sun sets three times, first on the young, then on the middle-aged, like Desiree, the granddaughter's mother, and then on the old, like me. And then she alludes to the fact that, well, what I've just described, that we all screw up occasionally when it comes to love, and we're all prone to, yeah, affairs of the heart and otherwise.
And some more accidentally than others.
True, yes.
But in the end, even though it doesn't have your typical musical happy ending, the right people wind up with each other.
Right.
And the people that they're really meant to be with wind up with each other.
Well, that sounds like a happy ending.
Yeah, but if you know Sondheim, you know it's not packaged as a traditional happy ending.
Right.
Comment a little bit on the group that we heard in the overture there. I mean, normally Broadway overtures don't start with singing. least of all of sort of the complexity that these have. This is sung by the quintet.
Right. Also known as the Liebesleaders. Dennis, our music director, doubles. He's one of the Liebesleaders, Mr. Erlandson.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which more or less means love singers, right? Mm-hmm.
Again, you are correct. You've done your homework. They function as kind of like a Greek chorus, waltzing on and off, segueing between scenes, commenting on the action through song. They are sort of the guides that take the audience through the play and through the throughout this world.
I read somewhere a quote from Hal Prince, who I guess was the original director of this thing, something to the effect that the Greek chorus are the ones that actually act with some sort of purpose, and everybody else, the rest of the show is really not about anything, or something to that effect. And I couldn't find it again, so I didn't write it down exactly, but it was kind of curious.
They are like a Greek chorus in the sense that they do always appear together, or most of the time they appear together, and whenever they're on stage, they're commenting on the action, unlike a Greek chorus in that they do have individual identities. The fact that these are named characters. We have Mr. Erlandson, Mrs. Segstrom, Mrs. Anderson, Mrs. Nordstrom, and Mr. Lindquist. I can't believe I just rattled off all five of those. Says something about them, that they have personalities that are unique. So.
I know you brought three of the songs from the show to do. Thought we might as well start with the first one. We're going to take them in chronological order of the play.
Right. What you'll hear first is the tail end of Now, Later, Soon, sung by the character of Henrik, played by Sean. And then Joe Penrod is playing Frederick. He has the solo Now. But we're going to start it at the end with the character of Anne's solo, Soon. And then eventually all three wind up singing together, and it ends with a nice little trio.
What has happened more or less leading up to this particular song?
I'll let the actors respond to that. I'll let them answer that.
Well, I think it's one of these interesting workings of words by Sondheim that he uses the words now, later, soon to talk about the position of each one of these characters. My character is married to Anne.
Your character is Frederick.
Frederick, yes. And Henrik is my son, her stepson. And we're all, how do I put this delicately? I'm anxious that our marriage of 11 months finally be consummated. How's that?
Yes.
Well, and meanwhile, she's saying soon.
Right.
But not quite now.
Not yet.
and she's the stepmother of a kid who's actually older than she is.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my character is has very tumultuous things going on in his mind. But he's training to be in the ministry, and so he's trying to deal with all these different desires. And he has very strong feelings for Anne, who is his stepmother, which is also causing a lot of issues for him to morally, because I'm very attracted to her, but she's married to my father.
Bit of a problem. But, yeah. But at least you're studying for the Lutheran priesthood, right? Although I never heard the two put together. And the Lutherans do allow non-celibacy, so that's a start. Let's hear it. This is music from Prairie Fire Theater's production of Stephen Sondheim's A Little Night Music. Joe Penrod, Emily Hansel, and Sean Leeds as Frederick, Ann, and Henrik. Is it Egerman?
Egerman.
From the production, which opens on Friday. And at the keyboard is the music director, Dennis Gutkowski. I want to
hand we touch, and you're kissing my brow. I don't mind it too much, and you'll have to admit I'm endearing. I help keep things harming. I'm not domineering. What's one small shortcoming? And think of how I adore you. Think of how much you love me. If I were perfect for you, wouldn't you tire of me?
Three actors from Prairie Fire Theater, based in Bloomington, who are presenting A Little Night Music by Stephen Sondheim. Now, Later, Soon. Do I have those in the right order?
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Penrod, Emily Hansel, and Sean Leeds, with music director Dennis Gawkowski at the piano. And Dennis, I'm curious about something that I was just reading as you all were playing and singing, that the score is entirely in waltz time.
For the most part, there are a few exceptions, but it
as
is
in 1-2-3, 1-2-3.
It
one,
is almost
two,
entirely three. A waltz, and sometimes it gets slowed down, but it's almost entirely in three. There are measures here and there because Sondheim can't resist it himself to throw in a mixed meter here and there. But every number is based on that 3-4 or 3-2 time.
And that doesn't make it monotonous.
I think he does a pretty good job of varying it. It stays in a 3 meter, but. And you have the waltz feel in a lot of the movements, but at the same time, each of the songs seems to have its own character.
Does that suggest that there's a lot of dancing in the show?
There's a fair amount. I mean, the play is bookended with waltzes. The Liebesleaders, as we discussed earlier, start the show.
With waltzes, actual dancing waltzes?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they come out, they vocalize, they sing, and then they start waltzing, and... one by one, the various couples come on, the principal characters in the play. They're waltzing. Of course, at that time, they're with the person who they should not be with. And so when we see them waltzing at the end of the play, everybody's with their partner that they were meant to be with.
Sounds like a really carefully choreographed structure of the whole
thing. It is, yes. I don't think you ever get anything less than that with Sondheim. Yeah. I mean, he's meticulous. He's just meticulous.
Bob Mangiolotti, I know you're producing this show and you've been involved in Prairie Fire Theater since the beginning.
Yeah, from the beginning.
And was it the original history, or at least a lot of the history, a lot of Gilbert and Sullivan?
Yeah, we've done a fair amount of operetta. We've done some operas, and this is very much like an operetta. I mean, it has dialogue, but just the whole waltz business is operetta-like. And I mean, I think you can tell it takes, maybe you can't, but it really takes some fine singers. Of course, they have to be really great actors, too, but it really, you got to start with some, the principals have to be, even the Liebeslieder singers mm-hmm. have to have good voices. I mean, it's not a kind of speaking kind of thing. So,
well, hardly sounded like
so
that,
it's,
at least.
No, so it's, I think it ties into our identity pretty well.
Have you done, has the company done Sondheim before?
Joe and I were just talking about, we also did Merrily We Roll Along, which you almost never see. My brother talked me into that, and I did wind up loving it. But it's
very early.
Right, harder to kind of fathom for a lot of audiences, because it actually plays backwards.
Was that before or after Company? When did he do Company?
I think it's after. Yeah, it's after. Before Company. Yeah, Company was after Merrily We Roll Along.
But the great thing about Sondheim, and I mean, they all know this, is that he never repeats himself. He's always looking for a different kind of approach to a story, to the music, themes. I mean, he just runs the gamut, you know, Sweeney Todd, which is, you know, perhaps an opera, mm-hmm. and, you know, certainly gruesome on some level. And then this has this pretense of almost a kind of a Viennese feel. Mm-hmm. But underneath this elegance is, of course, these you know, really meaty
there's an underbelly
characters that you just think, boy, they are, yeah. I mean, this is really acidic at times. So
anyway, you think about Into the Woods, another right. Sondheim musical, where the entire first act, the first act ends with everybody living happily ever after, and then after the intermission, the audience comes back, and we see, you know, that these lives have to continue, and people have to continue to grow and relate to one another, and sometimes things don't work out. So Sondheim's always exploring the underbelly, the dark side of things. You see it in Assassins, you see it in Sweeney Todd, you see it in Sunday in the Park with George.
But a lot of comedy in this one.
A fair amount, yeah. I mean, a lot of the sexual tension between characters is the root of those comic moments, I think.
We have another vocal example.
Yes, we do.
What have we got next?
This is It Would Have Been Wonderful, featuring the characters of Count Carl Magnus, played by Bob Mangiolotti, and Frederick, played by Joe Penrod. Both of them are vying for the affections of who's arguably the main character of the show, and that's Desiree, played by Kristen Susong. Count Carl Magnus is the, she's his mistress, but we find out early on that Frederick has also had an affair with her in the past.
And she's a kind of a has-been actress who's...
Right. Just that's exactly right, yeah.
Not doing so well on anymore as far as that goes.
Right.
Something of the fact.
Desiree is the character who sings the best-known song in the show, maybe in all of Sondheim's canon, and that's Sending the Clowns.
Which is, I never really thought about it before, it is also in 3/4 time, just generally mm-hmm. a lot slower, depending upon, I guess, how you're doing it in here. Okay, song from A Little Night Music. Prairie Fire Theater's putting it on starting Friday, and you're hearing them live on Live and Local.
I should never have gone to the theater. Then I'd never have come to the country. If I never had come to the country, matters might have stayed as they were.
Sir?
Sir. If she'd only been faded, if she'd only been fat, if she'd only been jaded and bursting with chat, if she'd only been perfectly awful, it would have been wonderful. If she'd been all a-twitter, or elusively cold, if she'd only been bitter, or better look passively old, if she'd been covered with glitter, or even been covered with mold, it would have been wonderful. But the woman was perfection, to my deepest dismay. Well, not quite perfection, I'm sorry to say. If the woman were perfection, she would go away. And that would be wonderful, sir. If she only looked flustered or admitted the worst, if she only had blustered or simpered or cursed, if she weren't so awfully perfect, it would have been wonderful. If she tried to be clever, if she started to flinch, if she cried or whatever a woman would do in a pinch, if I'd been certain she never again could be trusted an inch, it would have been wonderful. But the woman was perfection, not an action denied, the kind of perfection I cannot abide. If the woman were perfection, she'd have simply lied, which would have been wonderful.
If she'd only been vicious,
if she acted abused,
or a bit too delicious,
or been even slightly confused,
if she had only been sulky,
or bristling,
or bulky,
or bruised,
it would have been wonderful.
If
she'd only been willful,
if she only had fled,
or a little less skillful,
insulted, insistent,
in bed,
if she had only been fearful,
or married,
or tearful,
or dead,
it would have been wonderful. But the woman was perfection, and the prospects are grim. That lovely perfection that nothing can dim. Yes, the woman was perfection, so I'm here with him.
Sir. It would have been wonderful.
Too bad y'all can't be in the studio with me, because you see the amount of fun these guys are having.
You can't help but have fun with that song.
Yeah, well, it's, and actually all around the room here. I gather this is an enjoyable show to do.
Very rewarding.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What makes it so?
Well, the music is complex. It is not easily acquired as a singer on first reading. It takes work to learn it. Not only the music, but the lyrics as well. Sondheim is very well known for the complexity of his lyrics and the cleverness of them. And you heard a number of examples in that song, for example. That to me just keeps the interest alive as the process continues, from beginning of rehearsals right through the last performance.
Mm-hmm. Other aspects of it that have made this especially worth your while, ladies? You're trying to each defer to the other.
He took the words right out of my mouth.
Fantastic cast to work with, fantastic company. Everything's been going. Good people to work with.
And the people belong to Prairie Fire Theater in Bloomington. The show, A Little Night Music, opens on Friday and goes through Sunday this weekend, and then the same schedule next week. The Friday and Saturday performances are at 7:30. The Sunday matinee is at 3 o'clock. They're all at Illinois Wesleyan University's Memorial Center in Bloomington. And you can get more information at prairiefiretheater.org. We do have another tune coming up in a moment. Well, let me mention that we have support for our show today here on Live and Local from the Decatur Celebration, August 2nd through 4th in downtown Decatur. Live musical acts include Here Come the Mummies, 70s rock band Foghat, American Idol finalist Casey Abrams, and many more. Events include a karaoke competition, a Razzle Dazzle Good Times Parade, and a hot dog eating contest. Details are available at DecaturCelebration.com. I'm Kevin Kelly, certainly enjoying this music. I hope you are as much as I am. We have coming up a performance by some members of the St. Patrick's Youth Orchestra based in Urbana, who are giving a concert tomorrow night, and that'll be fun to hear as well. What's next? What are we going to close up with?
The Miller's Son. This features the character of Petra, the maid, who's how would you describe her? She's a lot of fun. Promiscuous, yes. Good word. And this is
free-spirited.
Yeah, free-spirited.
Yeah, and this is The Miller's Son, where she's contemplating her own future and who she'd like to end up with.
And I gather that Henrik is one of the ones that she's at least.
Well, you'll have to come see the show.
Okay.
She definitely likes to tease Henrik.
At the very least, okay. Yeah. This is Brittany Ambler in the role of Petra from A Little Night Music.
I shall marry the miller's son, pin my hat on a nice piece of property. Friday nights for a bit of fun, we'll go dancing. Meanwhile, it's a wink and a wiggle and a giggle on the grass, and I'll trip the light fandango. A pinch and a diddle in the middle of a passers-by. It's a very short road from the pinch and the punch to the paunch and the pouch and the pension. It's a very short road to the 10,000th lunch and the belch and the grouch and the sigh. In the meanwhile, there are mouths to be kissed before mouths to be fed, and a lot in between in the meanwhile. To celebrate what passes by. Or I shall marry the businessman. Five fat babies and lots of security. Friday nights, if we think we can, we'll go dancing. Meanwhile, it's a push and a fumble and a tumble in the sheets, and I'll foot the Highland fancy. A dip in the butter and a flutter with what meets my eye. It's a very short fetch from the push and the whoop to the squint and the stoop and the mumble. It's not much of a stretch to the cribs and the croup and the bosoms that droop and go dry. In the meanwhile, there are mouths to be kissed before mouths to be fed, and there's many a tryst and there's many a bed to be sampled and seen in the meanwhile. And a girl has to celebrate what passes by. For I shall marry the Prince of Wales. Pearls and silver. festivals. Friday nights with him all entails we'll have dancing. Meanwhile, it's a rip in the bustle and a rustle in the hay, and I'll pitch the quick fantastic with flings of confetti and my petticoats away up high. It's a very short way from the fling that's for fun to the thigh pressing under the table. It's a very short day till you're stuck with just one, or it has to be done on the sly. In the meanwhile, there are mouths to be kissed before mouths to be fed, and there's many a tryst and there's many a bed. There's a lot I'll have missed, but I'll not have been dead when I die. And a person should celebrate everything passing by. And I shall marry the miller's son.
Brittany Ambler as the character of Petra, the maid from Stephen Sondheim's Little Nut Night Music. Little Nut Music, that sounds like might have been somewhat Freudian.
That's later in the season.
Music director Dennis Gutkowski has been at the keyboard for all of these live numbers here on our show on Live and Local. And you can go out and see it live if you want. It starts on Friday, continues through the 11th, three performances each weekend. For more information, go to prairiefiretheater.org. The number is 309-824-3047. And thanks to all of our actors, Joe Penrod, Emily Hansel, Sean Leeds, Brittany Ambler, and Bob Mangiolardi. Bob Mangiolardi's producing the show. Reese Lovell's directing, and of course we mentioned Dennis Gutkowski, music directing. And since I asked about choreography, I might as well say that Shelley Weekly has done the choreography.
Absolutely.
Thanks all very much for coming in.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you. Blast. Thank you.
Stay tuned next for a feature on the St. Patrick's Youth Orchestra based in Urbana.
Isn't it rich?
Are we a pair? You here at last on the ground?
You in
music by Giacomo Puccini, O Mio Babbino Caro. It comes from the opera Gianni Schicchi and played here in an arrangement for violin and orchestra by violinist Joshua Bell with the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields led by Michael Stern. You're listening to Live and Local. Our broadcast is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's musical heritage at the University of Illinois. Now featuring the new exhibit, the James Bond theme, Music to Live, Die, and Love, Another Day. More information is available at sousaarchives.org. That music you just heard is one of the several pieces that will be on the second concert by the St. Patrick's Youth Orchestra, which is based at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Urbana, and it will be at the St. Pat's Parish Center tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. It's located on West Main Street. They're calling it an evening of classical favorites, free admission. The most interesting thing, perhaps, about this youth orchestra, which I just heard of a few weeks ago, is that it's student-run. And here among the organizers, I don't know how many organizers there were, but we have two of them here in any event. Jack Reeder, who's also conductor for the group, and Noah Larson, who is going to be soloing with the other five members. One, two, three, four, five. Yeah, other five members of the orchestra, representatives of the orchestra, who are here to play some live music for us. Thanks all very much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
And Noah and Jack, who's the boss of this operation? Is there such a thing?
We'd like to think that we split it pretty evenly, although as it turns out, you know, I seem to be the boss most of the time.
You're bigger.
Yes, yeah. I guess you could say that, yes.
Bigger and older, and you have the baton, if you use one.
Yep, I have the baton.
That's Jack Reeder, in case you couldn't figure it out. What was the genesis of the group? What made you decide to put it together? And how did you put it together?
The group really started a couple years ago when Noah and my brother and I got a group of our friends together, and we put together a program of Christmas music that we were going to play. This little orchestra was going to play at our family's Christmas party. And so we did this one year, and then we did it the next year at another Christmas party. And it had grown to something that the main event was the concert itself and not the Christmas party. And so we started it there. And then once we realized there was really a sort of a need for this and there was a good opportunity for students in the area to have, and so we decided to go to we asked St. Patrick's Church in Urbana if they would sponsor us, because they have a really great dedication to the arts. They have some incredible artists as parishioners, and they also have a really good dedication to the youth in their area and providing them with a developmental and a safe place to be. And then we had our first concert in April. It was a faith-themed concert, and we organized it by doing I put out a call to a bunch of my friends at Centennial. Noah put out calls to his friends at uni. And also we put a little thing in the newspaper that was there, and we contacted people, and we got together a group, and we rehearsed, I'd say, about 2-3 weeks, weekends before it. And then we had a big weekend, the rehearsal of the concert, and then we had our first concert. And it was a really fun concert because everything was prearranged. Everything, we arranged it ourselves for the most part. And so what we were playing was what we had put together.
So the piece that, for example, that I just played, which in fact was an arrangement for violin and orchestra, you have arranged for what kind of ensemble here?
We've arranged it for orchestra. We took the original opera score off of IMSLP and we adapted it for orchestra and dividing the melody among it through, so it stays, it flits from one section to the next.
And the orchestra is how many people and of what kind of mix of strings, winds, and so on?
We have about 35 people in the orchestra, and that's about half string players and then half winds and brass players. So it's a pretty even split, I'd say.
So the school's represented, I mean, you mentioned Uni High, which is University Laboratory High School, the full name, on the University of Illinois campus, Urbana High School, Central High School, Champaign Central, Champaign Centennial, plus Franklin, Edison, and Urbana Middle Schools. Are there others represented?
I believe we have a kid from Holy Cross.
Holy Cross School, yeah.
As well.
Which is one of the Catholic schools in town.
Yes.
Before I ask you any other questions, let's hear the first thing you've brought to play, which is music from an opera by Handel called Xerxes, about which I know absolutely nothing other than this tune, which is sort of one of those little greatest hits that gets done now and then, hence the title of the concert, Evening of Classical Favorites.
Thank you.
Very nice. Music by George Frederick Handel, the Largo, a very slow movement from his opera Xerxes, played here by six members of the St. Patrick's Youth Orchestra based in Urbana, who are first violinist Sophie Kim, second violinist Lindsay Valance. Were you guys doubling the viola part? Renata Herrera and Annika Downey, and then on the cello part, Johnny Kim, and taking the high solo part was one of the co-founders of the group on the violin, Noah Larson, and conductor, Jack Reeder, who is, I'm just going to read here from your bio, Jack, it's a pretty good bio. Junior at Saint Daniel High School, where you're student conductor of the Expressions Choir, president of the Tri-M Music Honor Society. That sounds good anyway.
It's wonderful.
And participating in the various theater productions. Study voice with Renata's dad, Ricardo, who's on the U of I faculty and a fabulous bass baritone.
Yeah.
And fine singing actor himself. So what's the interest for you guys to be in a group like this? I mean, you, I presume, all play in your school orchestras.
Yes.
Three of you, I know, play in the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra, which has been around for a long time, which I happen to conduct. I'm very glad to have you guys in it. What's the appeal of a student-run group like this? Anybody?
Oh, wow.
I think it's a good way to get away from the stress that you have from school and getting ready for school. Like, for us juniors, ACT, SAT, and summer assignments and stuff.
But the first concert was in the spring, right?
Yes.
So that's the getting away from the pressures of school part, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Anybody else?
Yeah, it's just nice to play in like a smaller group, because in my school it's like 100 students in the orchestra, so it's a lot nicer to be able to hear everything that's going on. So
which school do you go to?
Uni. So
there's 100 kids in that?
Yes.
Wow, really? Generous. I had no idea it was that big.
A third of our school.
Seriously.
Part of our orchestra.
That's fantastic. Well, it's a small school, but still, to have that many. What about the others of you?
I think it's really nice when you get to play with other people that you don't necessarily go to school with and can learn a lot.
And what about the business of playing under another student, under another student's direction, arranging your own music and so on? Does that itself have an appeal, or is that just sort of an added feature?
I think it's really nice because, like, you can give your own input on the pieces that you want to pick out, too. And it's really nice because Noah has actually arranged some of our pieces. And so that's just really nice because you can play stuff that other students of the orchestra have composed or arranged.
So, Noah, are you the chief arranger, then, for the St. Patrick's Youth Orchestra?
I wouldn't call myself the chief arranger. We don't really have a chief arranger, but me and Jack's brother do a lot of arrangements for orchestra.
Jack's brother has been mentioned twice. His name's Matthew. Might as well give him a name, right? And I happen to know from a fairly recent audition of his that he's a very fine flute player.
He is. He practices is quite a bit.
Well, that's pretty obvious. And so, but he's not here today representing the wind section, but will be. So, Jack, what's the difference for you leading a choir versus leading this group?
There are quite a few differences. Unfortunately, I found that there's a little bit of overlap in the respects that, you know, each group has to listen to each other quite a bit. But also, I found it's nice to get the sound of an orchestra. I mean, the sound of an orchestra is very different from the sound of a choir most of the time, and it's nice to get that. But also, it's a much bigger ensemble than Expressions is, and so it's nice to be at the helm of that very large ensemble. And Expressions is it could be a chamber group of sorts, and this is definitely a larger, bigger opportunity.
Although today, you know, the six players here, I would say, now that I think about it, you got a rather unified choral sound out of this group of string players.
That's so good to hear.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
We're going to hear some Mozart in a moment, and as it happens, I don't know if you guys realize this, the piece we did just before you was on Stephen Sondheim's musical called A Little Night Music.
Mm-hmm.
Ring any bells?
Send in the clowns.
Eine kleine Nachtmusik means?
A little night music.
That was completely accidental, by the way. And so that's what they're going to be playing in just a moment. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9, and the kids will be playing a concert for free tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at St. Patrick's Parish Center. That's next to St. Patrick's Catholic Church on West Main Street in Urbana. and just show up. You don't need to get any other information than that, other than directions, if you want to Google that. Here's something you can do, though, unrelated to their concert, but related to this radio program. You can take this station with you anywhere you go. We now have at WILL our own app for iPhone, iPad, or Android, and that allows you to stream both our FM station, to which you're now listening, and also our companion AM station. And you can listen to past episodes of some of your favorite shows, including Live and Local, which you can do anytime on our website also, by the way. The web address is will.illinois.edu, and if you want to get the new app, you can go to the App Store for Apple or Google Play and search for WILL Radio. You are listening to 90.9 WILL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WILL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. We have coming up in about 5 minutes, all things considered from NPR. But first, or next, or last, I guess, really, Eine kleine Nachtmusik, first movement. This will be, are you doing the whole serenade on tomorrow's concert, or just this movement?
We're just going to be doing the first movement.
The first movement. So we may or may not get to the end by 5 o'clock, but you get to hear the sample here live in our studio by 6 members representing the orchestra. Thank you. The opening movement of Mozart's serenade called popularly Eine kleine Nachtmusik, a little night music, played by six members of the St. Patrick's Youth Orchestra, violinist Sophie Kim, Lindsay Valance, and Noah Larson, violist Renata Herrera and Annika Downey, and cellist Johnny Kim, conducted by Jack Reeder.